Amen. We do welcome guests with us tonight. Amen. Every one of you, we're so blessed. Amen. To have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I said it this morning, but I want to say it again. If you put a $20 bill and you need some change in the hands of somebody, a bank, they're going to count back and give you your change exactly to the dollar. But when you give to Jesus Christ, you give that $20 to the bank and you need change, they're going to give you. A lot of times they'll count back what you need, 21s, 4-5s, maybe 2-10s. But aren't you thankful when you give to the Lord? Amen. When you give to the Lord, God will always give you more than what you put in his hand. Amen. God has a return. And tonight, what a joy to be able to testify that God has a return. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 14. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Are you thankful tonight that I have something to give? Amen. There's something working in my life to give. The light through your life. Amen. Let people see what God is doing in your life. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your word today, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and your power. We give you praise and we thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Would you put your Bibles down? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and lift your voice with that praise tonight. Come on, thank the Lord with me tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, give that offering of praise tonight. Come on, God will give it back when you give it to him. Praise God. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And a city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick that it may light, that it giveth light unto all that are in a house. Jesus said also, the scripture said in the book of John, or John was writing about Jesus. John said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Are you thankful that God has light that will erase the darkness? Amen. Hallelujah. Confusion and things in your life, when you just let the light of the Holy Ghost have its work, God will take care of the shadows, the doubts, the things that are incomplete in your life. I'm thankful for the light of the Holy Ghost, aren't you? Isaiah says this, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. I'm thankful for the great light of God tonight. Amen. I found that when you let God be God in your soul, God will begin to do things inside of you, amen, that are beyond you. Amen. Hallelujah. When we got hang-ups and we got problems, amen, and we begin to blame that we got problems with that person, and that person, a lot of times it's not problems with that person, and that person. It's a problem with this person. Amen. And whenever you begin to obscure what God's wanting to do in your life and through your life, amen, you're restricting, amen, the light of the Lord. Amen. Oh, friend, I want to just tell you tonight, I got to let God be God in me. How many needs a light to work through your life? The greatest fulfillment is when you let God work through your life and you become the instrument and he becomes the operation. When you try to be the operation, amen, you're messing something up. When we try to pretend we're doing something, amen, oh, friend, amen, it doesn't work. But when you let God do what God wants to do with you and through you, God makes things beautiful. There's nothing like it whenever we go somewhere, amen, particular, and you look way before you get there, you see the lights of a city. But I love to see the lights of an old house. Amen. There's beautiful homes that are ancient homes. Amen. That I love. Amen. To go by. Amen. And you look and you see that the light is on. Sister Crosswhite and I the other night. Amen. For our anniversary, we went to Blessing, Texas. Blessing, Texas. And we stayed in the Blessing Hotel. 120-year-old hotel. Still have screen doors. Amen. To the entryway to the lobby of that hotel. Still screen doors to every room that is there. But how beautiful it was, amen, that night to pull up and see the light still on after 20 years, 120 years. Amen. Oh, friend, I love that, amen, to see people that still have their light shining. After all these years, that the light is still on. Hallelujah. Years ago, we used to call whenever you would pay for your electricity, people call it their light bill. Amen. How many still calls it your light bill? Amen. I want you tonight to realize that Jesus has taken care of your light bill, but you got to stay hooked up. Amen. You got to stay connected to him. Amen. Oh, friend, he's the power source. Jesus is our light and our power source. I'm glad to know tonight that when we let God be God, God will make a difference in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. And God not only created the physical light, but there is a spiritual light that begins to shine through somebody. And believers are called to let their light shine. And the power of a Christian's light is not in its existence, but in the expression of it. Amen. Oh, when light is forbidden, when you don't let your light be released, amen, it is something that is held back. But when light is transmitted through the darkness of the hour, there is a fulfillment. Amen. When you shed abroad the light of the Holy Ghost, there's something about it. Even to watch a little 84-year-old great-great-grandmother in the jail, whenever she walks in, amen, people don't see Mildred Benton. They see somebody whose light is shining. She has touched the darkness of a jail that's full of criminal and darkness and problems. But the light of the Holy Ghost makes a difference. Oh, you're thankful for the light today. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't argue with the light of God. Amen. You can't argue with the glory of God. Amen. There's something about the glory and the anointing of God. It is the expression that God is there. Isn't it amazing whenever you begin to realize you pass in front of a house and you wonder, hey, I've been by here several times and I don't see any lights on. We get worried. We get a little bit thinking, I wonder where they're at. Amen. I wonder if they're home. I wonder if something has happened. I don't see the lights on. And it bugs me as a pastor when I don't see the lights on in somebody's life. I see them come to church. I see them. And let me just say this. A lighthouse is a beautiful place in the daytime. But it's a grander beauty when you're in that old ship in the midst of the storm and the light is shining. And the greatest thing to see somebody, amen, in the midst of storms, continue to let their light shine and stay consistent to the things of God. God wants a church that is consistent and a people that is consistent. Amen. God don't want you to just let your light shine on Sundays. Amen. How do people know that you're real? This whenever you go through something. Amen. And you're in your darkness of your hour, the worst of the storm of your life. And they watch and they see the light is on. They see that, amen, that the light is allowed to shine. In the tabernacle in the Old Testament time, the tabernacle did not have windows. It was made of just skins, and it was a tent in the wilderness. It was a mobile place of worship. But it did not have natural light. The only light that it had was a candlestick. The Jewish people call it the menorah. And the menorah, in order for it to be lit, it was put inside of it. They put pressed olive oil. Let me tell you about the holy, pure oil that they use. They would take olives, and they didn't heat the olives up. They pressed them cold. And they pressed, that's where we get cold pressed olives from. And they would take that pure oil, and then they would put it in the vase or the stand in that menorah. And not only that, where did they get the fire at? Anybody know? It came from the altar. It came from a coal from the altar. Fire plus oil. The oil alone didn't bring the light, and the fire and the oil alone didn't bring the light, but it had to have a wick. That wick had to be placed inside of that lamp. And whenever the wick was lit with the coal and it began to draw through capillary manner and operation, it began to draw from that reservoir of oil, and it began to bring forth a difference other than just a fire. It brought forth a lamp, the Bible's light, unto the whole house. I want you to understand, even the wick alone, if you take a wick and you light it up, it'll burn up. It'll begin to smoke and smolder. But whenever it has oil flowing through it, you hear me? There's something comes alive in that pure, beautiful flame that it begins to produce. Amen. Do you know that the priest every morning had to trim the wick? He had to cut off the char places to keep the flame consistent. He had to dress it. He had to keep the lamp full of oil. And he had to relight that. And the light began to burn. I want to tell you, you are the wick. Your life is the wick. We preached this not too several years ago, that your life is the instrument. Amen. By yourself, if you're just burning your life, amen, you're going to burn up and be nothing. But whenever you let your life be the thing that begins to draw the oil and the fire of God for them to meet together, you become the instrument. While your life is burning, amen, while your life is living, you're giving for something for the glory of God. I don't want to be just something that just burns up. I don't want to have a life that is wasted, but I want my life to give the glory of God. Oh, you ought to praise the Lord tonight that you have an opportunity. Woo! Come on, you got your lights on? Anybody home tonight? Anybody thankful that God is the source of your life? That the fire of the Lord still burns in your life? Hallelujah. Your fire cannot come with you just being a weekend warrior. It has to come with a daily relationship. I had to take care of me. I had to trim myself up. I had to work on me to keep me crisp, to keep my relationship. Your attitude, your spirit, the way you conduct yourself really matters. Amen. Can God use your life? Can God? What about you? Are you the one that lets God? Are you eager for the things of God? Are you the type, it's all about you? If the wick said it's all about me, and never, never allow itself to draw from that fresh oil, and begin to take that oil and connect it to the fire, there would never be light. It would be nothing but old smoky fire that is burning. Have you ever been around a campfire that was just a smoking, stinky fire? It tells you something about the fuel, the fire, the oxygen. Amen. But whenever there's a good hot fire burning, and Brother Williams would tell you, when there's a draft, amen, there is a flow. There's something begin to flow with that fire. That fire will get hot. That fire, amen, will be a productive fire. God is looking for somebody that has a free flow in their life. Somebody that will let God have his will and his way. Young lady, hear me tonight. God is wanting you to let him have his way. But if you're all stuffed up, hung up on yourself, you're going to find that you're going to miss something. If the light is all about you, your life is going to be burned up and wasted. And you're going to go, I thought I had it together. We went to church. We did things. We clapped. I sang in the choir. But if you're not letting God use your life, what good is your life? It's a daily ministry and a beauty that God gives. The most beautiful thing is to watch somebody that has a relationship, a connection to the Almighty God. God wants that connection to be in your soul. God wants that fervency to be there. Amen. Oh, thank God for the prayer meeting we had before service tonight. Amen. People were praying. People were talking to God through this building. There was a fervency. It makes it a lot easier for a pastor to preach. Amen. When all the wicks are being trimmed and people are ready for God to flow and the Spirit of the Lord to do something, amen, in their church service. What a beautiful picture of people, amen, that begin to let God ignite something inside of them and generate. It's all because we're learning to yield to God. Amen. You know, wicks come in all different sorts and sizes. There's what we call a tea lamp. Anybody know what a tea light is? A tea lamp, tea candle? It's got that little bitty wick. And it don't last long. Sister Crosswhite has something that is very valuable somewhere in our house. It's called a quartin lamp. Anybody's ever heard of a quartin lamp? A quartin lamp was years ago when the young man came courting. Daddy would light the quartin lamp. And it was limited. It had a time. It had just a little bit of oil in it. The capacity of lasted maybe an hour. And when the lamp started flickering, it was a warning, son, your time is over with. You only have a short time. I want to tell you, the Bible says about our life, we only have a short time. You only have a short time. You think, well, I'm 16 years old, I'm 11 years old, I'm 21 years old, I'm 24 years old, I'm 63 years old, I'm 75 years old, whatever your age is, amen, you are on a limited budget of time. Amen, your life is just a wick. Amen, I wonder how much wick you have left in your life. Amen, you ever heard somebody said there are candles burning on both ends? Amen. Oh, Fred, I want to tell you, I wonder how much wick you have left in your life. And if you've been burning your wick without any oil and you didn't have the glory of God, you're just burning up your life. You're wasting the privilege and the greatest opportunity. Amen. Oh, friend, the greatest fulfillment, Coley talked about it a while ago, is when God is alive in your life and you got the treasure of God living in you. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to take care of your life. Let me tell you about a true story of a young lady named Abby. Her name was Abby Burgess. She lived with her family on a rocky island in Maine. Her father was a lighthouse keeper. And she loved helping her dad. And she was 17 years old. Ever since she was younger, everything she wanted to learn about that lighthouse. She enjoyed because that lighthouse was years and years and years in operation. She enjoyed reading the diaries of the lighthouse keepers that were before her dad. And she would read it, and she read about storms. She read about things that had happened there on that rocky coast of Maine, how the storms would come up and how the patterns and different things were recorded in that diary. And whenever supply ships would come, and they would bring the barrels of oil, Abby was so enthused. She would help her daddy roll those barrels up the hill along with the people from the ship. She would help in the chores of the lighthouse. So after a while, her daddy said, Abby, you become a great assistant here. You're learning the ropes of being a lighthouse keeper. You're learning the different things that make the lighthouse continue and work. And he said, Abby, you always got to keep your reservoir full. He taught her, he said, Abby, one of the greatest things, you see, back in those days, there wasn't electricity. the lighthouse worked out of oil with a wick, and they had what they call reflectors. Big old mirrors would take that little light that was shining and reflect it through the windows of that lighthouse into the oceans. And the lighthouse keeper would rotate those lights every now and then. That reflector, that way out there in the middle of the sea, the beams from that lighthouse would be projected. She learned some things. In order to be effective, you had to keep the mirrors clean from the smut. I'm going to tell you, any fire will leave some residue. She had to learn to keep every mirror clean, the reflectors clean, because her daddy said, Abby, if there's one little speck of smut on those mirrors, reflectors, whenever it's magnified through the reflection and it gets way out there in the sea, he said that little speck becomes a big old blind spot. And it could be that there's a ship that is needing the light. And because there's a speck right here, and that speck becomes so big, that ship out there could miss the beam of light. He said, you got to keep it clean. You got to keep the windows on the outside. Around the top of that tower on the outside was a catwalk, or a little walk area where you would walk on the outside. And being next to the ocean, that salt water constantly would come through, and the different things there, she had to learn to wash the windows and keep them good and clean. That way, all the different things, the scale from the salt and the salt water and the spray that would hit the lighthouse would not begin to hold back the light. God wants the church to be the church in this hour. God wants the lighthouse to be a church that freely lets their light shine. Sometimes we got to work on us, don't we? One little speck in your reflector, one little speck in your life. Oh, it's just something little, that a little grudge I'm holding, little smudge that I got on some. You may think, well, I know this on that person. And you letting that begin to hinder you, and you think, well, look at them. How can they get up and raise their hands? I want to tell you, not one of us deserves to be in the house of God. Somebody said, man, look at all the hypocrites in church. Amen, friend, you could go to hell with hypocrites, but I'm thankful there's a place for those that will repent. And I want to tell you, amen, I'm thankful the chief of sinners, Paul said, I was the chief of hypocrites. Amen, I was the chief of sinners, but the mercies of God has kept me. Don't you dare start getting your eyes off of yourself. Amen, keep your eyes on you and make sure every speck, everything, make sure you keep the windows of your lighthouse pure and clean. Abby had to learn this. She had to learn to trim the wick in that lighthouse. She had to learn to trim it, because if it got all full of crust of smudge and carbon, it wouldn't burn even. It would be an uneven thing, and it would start to flicker and smoke. And a little bit, it would smudge up the windows again. And she had to learn, if you kept your wick trimmed and you kept it all right and even, it would give an even fire. How many's ever seen an old coal oil lantern? How many's ever operated one? You know what I'm talking about. You had to keep that wick clean. You had to keep the chimney of that lantern just all clean. And so Abby learned the operations of that lighthouse. And there came a day that Abby's mother became very sick. She became an invalid. Very sick. And she did have some younger sisters. And her daddy, the ship did not come for the supplies of food and what they needed. And her mother needed medical supplies. Her dad looked at her. He said, Abby, I put it off, but I need to make a 21-mile journey to Rockland, Maine, and to go get supplies and medical stuff for your mother. Our food supplies are going down. And he said, Abby, I'm going to be gone for just a little bit. I should be back tomorrow. He says, it's about a 21-mile journey. and I should be back. Well, before he got in this little boat, a dory, he looked at Abby and he said, Abby, he said, keep your eyes out there. He said, it looks like there's a potential of a storm, but he said, it may not hit us. But be ready. He said, if there's only one thing you could remember, keep the light burning. Keep the light burning. Mr. Burgess got in his little boat and left. And would you know it, the next day the storm started hitting. It became bad that Abby got to looking, and she had read in the diaries of the storms before, the patterns of the storms. And she read what the old lighthousekeepers did. And she read that sometimes that island would begin to get encroached with the storm so much that the waves would begin to beat against that lighthouse. Would you know it? One of the worst storms started hitting that coast. Her dad wasn't there. The only thing she knew how to do was let the light shine. Keep everything in order. It got so bad that the water began to rise up. And she looked out and realized that the island was supposed to be taken over by the water. The rising water. She waded out in the icy waters to their old chicken house. She gathered all the eggs that she could get. And she gathered the hens and the chickens. And there was no place for them to live other than at the lighthouse. She got everything in the lighthouse. Her mother's bedridden. And she got to thinking, you know, that water's rising. The best thing I could do is move my mama up to a next level. Move these chickens up to another level. And so with her siblings, they moved their mother and the bed up to another floor. The tower. The chickens. And the story, I read it again today, said that the storm got bad. One day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. It got so bad in freezing weather that this Abby had to go out on the catwalk and chip away the ice on the glass to keep the light burning and to keep the windows being able to project out there. She had to work hard to keep the reflectors clean and the oil full. She was doing the duties of a lighthouse keeper. Well, pretty soon a week went by. Her dad still could not make his way back home because of the storm. 2 weeks went by. 3 weeks went by. And pretty soon their supplies were all gone. All they had was eggs and a little bit of cornmeal. And she began to worry, what are we going to do? And she knew and she trusted God. And she prayed, Lord, help us. And it got so bad, all they had per day was an egg apiece and the cornmeal mush that they would divide after feeding a little bit to the chickens. 4 weeks went by till finally the storm broke. I'm talking to you about times where the severity of the waves were so high they were taller than the lighthouse. And in her mind, she knew nothing but to let the light shine. She had to go out there and hang on and chip away the ice. And she had to do it, but she said, no, I got to keep the light burning. She couldn't see any ships. She didn't know if anybody was out there. But reading that old journal and that diary, it talked about the many ships that had been saved because of a lighthouse. And she said, I got to keep the light burning. I got to keep the duty. I got to keep the purpose of this lighthouse. Finally, the storm broke. And as you would know it, pretty soon the ocean began to get calm. And she looked out from the tower one day and seen a little speck. And it was getting bigger as it was headed her direction. In that little dory, that little boat, was her daddy. And I mean, he was pumping those oars to get back. When he got back, he had medical supplies and food supplies. But the first thing, when he got back there, he hugged his daughter that met him on the shore. And he said, Abby, you made it. We made it. And others made it. She said, Dad, I didn't see not one ship. He said, honey, you didn't see them. He said, back in town, the story is there was multiple ships that you never seen that seen the lighthouse, that seen the beam from this lighthouse, and you saved countless lives. In fact, Abby, he said, because we've always kept the light on, and this old lighthouse has been there for years shining. It was almost they knew that the light was going to be kept on. And he said, Abby, you didn't see it, but they saw the light, and they were able to be brought to safety all because of you. Tonight in this place, young person, elderly person, saint of God, whoever you are, amen, I want to tell somebody, amen, I don't care how bad your storm is, amen, God wants the light to keep burning. Amen, old friend, let it be, amen, that we read in the diary of the Word of God from generation to generation. Had it not been for somebody, amen, that was a praying people, amen, had it not been for people that had kept the fire burning in their life, we wouldn't have the things of God today. Thank God for those that have held on, those that taught us how to pray. Thank God for people that stood with it and kept the light burning. Amen. Being here 29 years as a young man coming to Nacogdoches, I was 27 years old. 27-year-old pastor. Amen. I've had the privilege to pastor people that were old timers, people that would tell you old stories of revivals of years ago in Nacogdoches. I've had the privilege of talking to people that received the Holy Ghost, amen, in different areas around Nacogdoches, Big Rock, amen, that area, Happy Valley. Amen, people received the Holy Ghost right here, amen, on Douglas, and people that received the Holy Ghost on East Main, people that received the Holy Ghost in Woden and Thomas Cross and Etah, all because there were people that taught them to keep the light burning. I'm telling you today, saint of God, where would we be had it not been for somebody that got a hold of God and said, we got to keep it going? From generation to generation, even the light of truth has reached out in East Texas. We're so thankful for the beauty of God, that God's word, let it be tonight that your mission is this. I may be going through something, but I got to keep my reflector clean. I can't let some smudge of an attitude, I can't let some little compromise get a hold of me and something mess me up. Amen. I got to keep everything clean, because my duty is that my testimony reach out in the darkness of the night where you may not ever see them. They see you. They watch you. Amen. They watch you. Amen. It was years ago, there was a young man, and he had a little young girl. They were in the mall. And they had the movie theater in the mall. And he said, hey, let's go. Let's go in. And they went to a church, and their church taught against going to the movies. And the young man said, we'll slip in. Nobody will see us. And they walked in, and the person that was the usher, I mean, all of a sudden they had a little light, and they was going to lead them to their place. He turned the flashlight and he seen the young lady and he said, oh no, I can't let you stay in here. I know your mama and daddy. He said, young lady, do they know where you're at? He said, your mama and daddy would have a fit if I let you. He said, you're not supposed to be in this place. He said, if it's a show movie, that's inappropriate. He meant, girl, I can't let you in here. Do you know that young man got fired that night? But it was worth it, because years later, amen, that young girl testified. Amen, I'm so thankful that somebody, amen, shined a light at me that night and said, young lady, I can't let you come in here. I know your values. I know where you came from. I know how important it is for you to live right. He said, hey, it does matter that you don't cover. Hey, you don't need a speck on your reflector. You need to hang on to your testimony. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Amen. I want to keep my testimony. Man, isn't it beautiful whenever you let God use you? You become the wick. You become the wick and the lantern. That through you, amen, the oil is drawn through you. The operation is drawn through you. And the fire burns. But through you, God begins to let that fresh anointing flow in your life. And the impact of you yielding to God makes something happen in your soul. Hear me tonight. God is calling us to let our light shine. And the message from the lighthouse keeper tonight, I can't be with you every step of your life. I can't be with you probably in a tomorrow. But tonight as your pastor, I'm preaching to somebody. Let your light be burning. Keep the light burning in your life. Amen. Don't let the winds fool you. Don't let the rains fool you. Don't let the darkness of the storms fool you. There's somebody out there that needs the light to be burning. There's somebody that needs a testimony. Don't be like the young man that I recently read about who lived in San Francisco and he left a suicide note in his apartment. He was depressed and he said, I'm headed to the Golden Gate Bridge and if nobody smiles at me, en route, if nobody has a smile, I'm jumping off. It was a sad day because nobody smiled at him. All the hundreds of people that he encountered, not one smile. Not one smile. Only thing it would take, not 100 smiles, just one person to smile. Tonight I wonder if there's one person in this room that says, God, I want to be your instrument. I want to be your key. Amen, to help somebody make it. I want to be that lighthouse keeper. I want to be that one that lets my light so shine. I want to be that one, Lord, that is consistent. You may not be the popularest one. You may not be the one that has everything and talents and abilities, but you could let your light shine and you could be that yielded instrument. You could keep the smudges out of your life when everybody else has some little things against everybody. Don't join the crowd. Don't be in the contagious gossip section, but be the one that keeps your light clean and your lamps trimmed and burning. The Lord's calling young people from this church, amen, to a greater place in their relationship. God is calling, amen, in this hour for people to let the light of the glory of God shine. Amen. Oh, Fred, I'm telling you, amen, you don't see the lighthouse keeper many times. You don't see the hours and the efforts. You don't see the risk and all the efforts and the elbow grease that he puts in. But, oh, you do see the light. You see the results. And what matters is the light of God in your life. Dedication is what God's looking for. We walk by faith and not by sight. You're not going to see the results, but I'm so thankful for the results that God has for those that let their light shine. It's ironic and it's always been intriguing to me. The Bible says we're the light of the world. Men don't take a candle and hide underneath a bushel. It has always bugged me that a lamp or light or candle would be used in reference with a bushel. When I think of the word bushel, I think of a basket. We used to call them bushel baskets. And that bushel basket was a measure. A bushel was a measurement. And here, Jesus was referring to a bushel basket. Nobody hides their candle underneath a bushel. What was a bushel made? When I talk about a bushel, immediately, Brother Martin, you think about a bushel of peas. It's made for gathering. Sister Mott, when I talk about bushel, what do you think about a bushel of fruit and vegetables? A bushel of apples or plums or something. What good is a bushel if you're using it to hide your light? I believe in this dark hour, God wants to fill the bushels. amen, with those that let their light shine. How many wants God to fill your bushel, your life? Amen. I want you to stand with me tonight. The call of God is in this house. There's a call tonight that God is calling his church, calling individuals in this place. God's not preaching to just young people tonight. God's not addressing just to some couple here tonight. God's call is not just to one person. God's call is to this congregation individually of all ages to let your light burn. You only got one chance at life. Your wick may be the tea lamp, court lamp. Your life may be short, but what good is the length and the size of it if the oil is not flowing through you and the fire is not ignited into light? Jesus is here tonight. He's calling tonight. Hallelujah. We want to do big things for God. It's exciting to be called Brother Crosswhite. Would you come to Oakland, California and do a children's crusade? And it's exciting yesterday to get another phone call. Brother Crosswhite, would you come to Roswell, New Mexico? It's exciting to preach even the small church Wednesday in Warren, Texas. 20, 25 people. To watch the Holy Ghost fall in Jimmy to receive the Holy Ghost. It's exciting. But there are sometimes, Sister Crosswhite would tell you, it's a lonely place when it's just me. When the duties of keeping my light and the lighthouse burning become so great that I have to hang on because the storm is ripping against me. I have to wade out in the chilly waters around and gather things together. You know what the most hurtful thing we're dealing with in this hour is that I don't care mentality. I don't care. It don't. If you knew a storm was coming tonight, would you have your oil filled, your lamps trimmed, and your light burning? It don't take one moment, one snap of a moment, for the horizon to change in your life. It only takes just one moment before everything is completely different, for a storm to hit you. Do you know how to keep your light? Friend, you don't wait till you get in the storm to start saying, what do I do? What do I do? I need to read the diary. I need to read the manual. No. It's those that's already having in practice that God will utilize and God will let his operation flow through. Amen. Somebody needs to come to this altar and lift your hands tonight and say yes to God. Somebody needs to get in communion with God. Amen. There's an elderly saint in this place. Amen. You don't need to let this be just a normal service. You need to connect to God. Hear me very plainly. Hang on just a moment, Sister Kristen. I got to talk to somebody's soul. Hear me, saint. I want to be pastor enough to tell you the truth when I feel it. If the Lord thumps my string, I'm going to tell you. You can't operate as business as usual. You can't sit back and just watch these young people. You know what they need? They need some assurance that their elders are not just watching the back of their heads. I love it when there's elderly people in the church that will help me pray, that will help me love these young people and help me bear a coal from the altar. It's sad when the young people have to carry the coals and have to get the fire burning when those that should have known their diary, their manual, that could say, let me help you. Let me step with you. You may not have the strength you had 40 years ago, but tonight God is calling you to be something and to keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Would you come on? Would you lift your hands and say yes to God? Come on, let your light burn. Let your fire burn in you. Come on, you may have to get something clean in your life, young lady. Is there a smudge on your reflector? Is there something that you got in your life that's going to hinder you? Come on, clean it out. Get it all clean. You can't afford to let something hinder you and hinder somebody else. Come on, say yes to God. Come on, God wants purpose to be in your life, operation. He wants the glory to shine through you. Woo! Yes to God, yes, God, yes, God. Come on. Come on, from generation to generation. Be a keeper. Be one that keeps the fire burning. Be one that hangs on to the things of God.
You've called me to be. That's what I'll be.
Come on, talk to the Lord with me right now. Lord, I want to say yes to you.
I will be what
I will be.
Called me to be.
Come on, talk to the Lord about your life.
I'll say yes.
Your testimony. Come on, get washed and cleansed tonight. Learn to walk with God. God, I want to be stormproof. I want to be stormproof, oh God. I want to be stormproof in my life, Lord. I want to learn to hang on. I want to learn to keep on. I want to learn to let you have your will. Teach me to yield to you, Jesus. Make me strong for you, Jesus. Make me faithful, Lord God.
What you've called me to be, that's what I'll be.
Lord, I will be.
I will be what you've called me to be.
I'll say yes.
Say yes.
I'll say yes.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I want to be, Jesus.
Lord, I will be.
I will be what you called me to be.
I'll say yes.
I'll say yes.
Yes. I'll say yes to you, Jesus. I need our young people. You sang in the youth choir tonight. I need you to come step up here next to the platform. Put your backs to the pulpit. Look out that direction. Young people, y'all been excited. God's been doing something in your life. I'm going to ask you to go right in front of you. Your mission field is sitting and looking, standing before you. I want you to go pray with those in front of you right now. Go find some people to pray with tonight. Amen. Go reach to them and pray with them. I want you to follow the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Lord. And I want you to pray with them fervently tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to follow the direction of the Lord. Find somebody to pray with tonight. Come on, there's eternal things happening tonight in the Spirit. Come on, let God use you. Come on, pray with somebody. Find somebody to pray with.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use,
use me, Jesus. Pray with them.
Speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Yes. Use
if
me,
you can
Jesus.
Use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Use me, Jesus.
If you can use anything, Lord,
if you pray with that one, go to someone else and pray with them. Find somebody else to pray with. Bring a coal from the altar to somebody else. Bring a coal to somebody else's life.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Lord, burn in us tonight. Burn in us, oh Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Use me, Jesus. Use my life, Lord.
Take my hands, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Use me, Jesus.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, take my feet, touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, take my feet, touch my heart, Lord. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything.
Would you lift your hands tonight to Jesus and thank him tonight for the call, the charge? Would you thank him tonight for the truth? Oh, thank you. Thank you for your saving grace, Jesus. Thank you for the goodness and freedom of your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep the fire burning. Keep the light burning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please don't hear this message tonight. Please don't leave it in the church. Please don't just take it as a sermon. I prayed in this building yesterday and asked God to use me. And help me, Lord, to deliver your word. I don't want you to forget this morning's message. I don't want you to ever forget the illustration we had this morning about Moloch. Hands were raised out. They would let the fire burn in Moloch so hot that brazen idol. And it started glowing. When it started glowing, they would bring their babies and put in the arms of the outstretched Moloch, trying to appease him to get success and to get status. I want to go to the God whose everlasting arms are underneath me. Are you thankful that we got a God whose arms are underneath us? Who's a God forever and ever. Amen. He's here tonight. I feel Jesus in the house. Amen. I feel the anointing and the beauty of the Holy Ghost tonight. Woo! Hallelujah. Would you just love him with me? Love him back tonight. Come on, let's love him back tonight. Somebody love the Lord back. Lord, I love you for Calvary. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the goodness of the word, Jesus. Thank you for your beauty and your power. I love and I honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Remember Tuesday night, midweek, Thursday nights, first things first, prayer. Amen. Oh, we've been having some great prayer meeting on the first Sunday, first Thursdays. Amen. God bless you. Let's go to heaven.